Good morning, everybody. Oh, okay, they awake. Hey, guys, how's it going? Happy New Year. Compliments of the season to you guys all. There's a big gap over here, so I'm going to speak to the cheap seats. How are you doing? Okay, just making sure everybody is doing well. How's the New Year's resolutions going? They haven't started. Is that so last year? Man, I'm loving these comments. Who's starting next week? Because everything starts on Monday, right? Who starts the new year like on a Thursday? I don't know. So, I want to just jump in quickly. Firstly, let me introduce myself as everybody. As you just heard, my name is Milo. I serve on the eldership team here at Durbanville AM, and man, I've got just something that I want to share with you guys that the Lord has actually been dealing with me. Like, you know, like when growing up, your brother and them did something wrong, and you run to them, and your parents are shouting at why they did this, and you point fingers, and it's like, uh-huh. And your mom turns to you and go, I'm talking to you. And you go, that's what it felt like. And so, we were getting ready for the new year, and I was, you know, reading my Bible, and I'm like, Lord, this is going to be great. This year, I am going to seek you more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out that. And he just sat down next to me one morning, and I felt him just say, dude, just keep doing what you're doing. Have you ever felt like you wanted to do something and you wanted to change and like the new year comes, I'm going to eat healthier, okay? And then Saturday comes and then you wait for Monday to eat healthier, right? And we get so bummed out that we go, oh man, I messed up. And I felt like the Lord is telling us, you know, it's not about striving to do something new, but to keep on doing what you have been doing. Keep on praying, keep on seeking Him, keep on reading His word, keep on stepping out, because as you build a foundation of doing the same things over and over, He brings change in our lives. And so this year, I want to encourage you through a very well-known passage, a story that we've all heard so many times. So if you've got your Bibles with me, with you, I've got mine with me. Could you please turn to the book of Mark? And we're going to be reading from verse 1. And this is what it says. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, And they praise God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And today I'm hoping that we will end up living lives that when we walk past people, that they will be amazed at what God is doing in us and through us, that they will turn to Him as well. So today I just want to spend just a couple of minutes just unpacking what God has been dealing with me through this title, Keep On Keeping On. Simple. How many of you guys have ever been, how many of you guys like crowds? I know some of you walk into this church and you went, "Oh my gosh, there's a lot of people." But we moved to Cape Town, and a few years ago, one New Year's, we decided we want to go and see fireworks. Hey, and what we called friends back then said, "Go to the waterfront. Friends don't send you to the waterfront on New Year's Eve." We have since prayed and reconciled with God and them. And guys, we were not prepared for what we were about to experience. So we decide, okay, let's go early. We go out for supper. And then we'll walk around because, you know, it's the waterfront. There's life there. And we arrived just before 8. Now it's a long time till 12 o'clock. That's what I thought. Just to find out all the shops were closing at 8. So we quickly snuck into Spur because the line was the shortest there, and gobbled something up, and then we left. But what we didn't realize is the amount of people that were still coming into the waterfront. Man, I felt like I was in a Liam Neeson movie. I had a kid under the arm. I told the others, I'm like, "You hold on. If you fall behind, I will not find you." And we just pushed through. And now you must know I am the smallest guy there is. And so it was like, we just made it out. Whew. Never again, guys. Never again. Have you met my, no, never again. But we were still adamant that we were going to see fireworks. So, I had a big brain moment. What if we go to Blouberg? We'd be able to see across the bay. Uh-huh. And we did, but it was like only 9 o'clock. And for 3 hours, yeah, my wife's just showing your maths, bro, not for three. For 3 hours, we sat on the beach because it was quiet. I had passed out. And when I woke up, I didn't have anything. I was just tired. It was a long day. Passed out. I had to fight my way for survival through the crowds. And just before New Year's Eve, like kicks off, before New Year's, man, I wake up and there are people once again. Everywhere. But guess what? We got to see the fireworks. In the comfort of my own car. It wasn't that bad. And the reason why I want to share this is we really wanted to see fireworks. Our first time outside of what was the norm for us. We get to this amazing place and we go, we want to see what life is like here. So we made a plan. But how many of you guys know plans don't always run according to you? There are things that happen. But as a father, I'm like, oh man, I promised these kids fireworks. A spectacle. You know, dad is going to be amazing. So I doubled up. What's better than beach and fireworks? Nothing. And so, this year, I believe our hearts is all to grow. Because we cannot be Christians and want to stay the same. But in our growth, there are always going to be things that pop up in front of us. And this is where I felt the Lord say, you know, you just got to keep on keeping on. And so I've just got a few points that I just want to point out to you on where we need to keep keeping on. And the first one is to keep on trusting in Jesus. You see, Here these guys are, full of excitement. They hear Jesus is going to be around. How many of you guys have ever been in a place and someone whispered, there's someone famous, and you've lost your mind? There was a specific celebrity that did the same while we were on holiday one day, and I won't say who it was, but man, I went ballistic. I lost my mind. I'm like, ah! My wife has a video of me running up the wrong escalator to take a photo of him. But this is different. Yeah, Jesus, the one that can change everything, has returned to this one place, and these guys hear about it, and they go, we've got to get there. And so they bring this guy that is paralyzed, and they're like, we're going to get you to Jesus, and he's going to heal you. But what do they run into? They run into crowds. They run into a blocked door. They run into opposition. But you see this, they trusted Jesus even though they faced an obstacle. I want to remind you that Jesus later on goes to say, in this world, you will have many troubles. His brother writes later, count it all joy when you face trials. So obstacles is part of life. Obstacles is part of your growth. But you just have to stay rooted by keep on trusting in Jesus. Because when there's obstacles, this is where our faith gets tested. You know, we trust God until it just gets a little bit too hard. We pray, you know, up until that prayer takes too long to get answered. But these guys kept on trusting. While I was reading this passage, the Lord reminded me of King David in Ziklag. I don't know if you guys remember that story. It's one of my favorite passages. David is in the enemy's camp, about to fight the Israelites, his own people, but then gets sent back just before the battle starts. So they had to walk everywhere because they couldn't take an Uber or a taxi. They had to walk all the way back. They get home, and everything is gone. How many of you guys have lost something? And how did that feel at that moment? How many of you guys have lost someone else's thing? Now, can you imagine David? He gets back to camp. He doesn't just lose his family, he loses all his men's families. And they're talking about killing him. And in Samuel 30, verse 6, we read this. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Notice they didn't say wives. No, I'm sorry. Just carry on. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. When things looked impossible, David did something that he remembered that he can only do. He kept on trusting. He reminded himself of who God is. He reminded himself of what God has done in his life. And this year, I believe we need to build a habit of trusting and reminding ourselves that God is faithful, that God is trustworthy, that he is a good God despite of the obstacles that come our way. When we transitioned into Josh Gen, I was unemployed for 2 years. Every day we prayed, Lord, change something. Every day we trusted that something was going to pop up now. But nearly 2 years and there was still nothing. But we believe that he is God, that he is good, that he has a plan. And guys, I can testify now that in the waiting, there was praying, there was seeking, there was still serving in that. I got employed for 2 jobs at the same place, at the same time. I'm still doing it. Talk about double portion. It's not cool. I want double salary. Don't tell my boss. But in any case, you know, I know sometimes you pray and it feels like those prayers aren't being answered. But can I tell you something? Jesus still hears them. We need to this year say that I'm going to keep trusting, I'm going to keep believing, I'm going to keep praying because of who you are. I'm going to seek you, I'm going to just keep on in the disappointment, in the heartache. You see, these four men rock up at the house and they don't leave the guy at the door and go, dude, it's all up to you now. They don't get angry at the crowd. They make another plan. Because I want you guys to hear this. It doesn't matter what we see, God never changes. Jesus didn't change on the other side of the crowd. He was still God. He was still healer. He was still someone that loved. And we normally stand on the other side of the crowd getting frustrated. But he remains the same. When we keep on keeping on, it builds our faith, and faith goes, let's find another way. And something that we need to understand is this man didn't get to where he got all on his own. He didn't get there on his faith alone. And this is point number two that I want to bring us to, is we got to keep on carrying one another. This man got to Jesus because someone else was willing to carry him. So for those who don't know, I've got a very overactive imagination. So reading the Bible is very different to me than it is to most people. So I'm reading this passage, and I don't know, when you grew up, everybody told you, man, there's this really cool story about these four friends that carry their paralyzed friend to Jesus. How many of you guys have heard that Sunday school story? How many of your parents told you about the four friends that carried their friend? Let me blow your mind as I was reading that. Nowhere does it say they were friends. So for me, in my mind, I'm like, they kidnapped the dude. I'm sitting there reading and I'm like, they didn't say they're friends. I got three translations and not one of them said they were friends. I'm like, there's this guy minding his own business one day, sitting on his mat, begging for money, and then next minute, he's singing A Whole New World from Aladdin because his mat is flying somewhere where he wasn't. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to steal people. No. Just calm down. Calm down, Milo. Because as you grow, as you keep reading, as you keep on reading, as you keep on studying, you come to the realization that it was a very close-knit community. And that kind of help, that kind of support only comes from people that have lived very close with each other. They might not have been friends, but they knew each other. They would have spent time helping him every now and then. And when they heard that Jesus was going to be here, they said, what are you going to do, run away? He ain't getting away from us. Let's take him with. Mat trip. No, road trip. Sorry. Let's get scared. So sometimes keeping on doesn't mean being strong. It doesn't mean I have to keep it all together so that my family. It doesn't mean I've got to be strong so that they can get through it. Sometimes keeping on means staying connected, pushing into the community when it's the hardest thing to do. You see what it reads in Mark 2 verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he spoke out. Not just the paralyzed guy's faith. Think about it. Someone broke into your house, that's literally what these guys did. What are you going to do? You're going to, like, firstly, I'll run, I'm that kind of guy. As you saw, I'll grab the kids, the wife will be close behind me, and we'll go. But here's Jesus in this moment, and this guy comes down from the roof. And he wants to know, how did he get there? And he looks up and he sees these guys. And he looks around, but he sees a collective faith. He doesn't just see a man's faith. He sees a collective faith. He saw the faith of people carrying him. There are going to be seasons when you can't pray properly. When you're just too tired and you're just trying to survive. When it's been hard and you're just not strong enough. I need you to hear this clearly. Those things don't disqualify you. This man didn't walk into the house. He was carried into the presence of Jesus. There are many stories in this congregation of the community carrying individuals. I felt community in this church before I even joined this church. We were going through a rough patch as we planted, and we had people from this congregation phone us, pray with us, invite us around. And that is what won us over. That is what got us through. And I'm telling you, God wants you to keep on carrying each other. Some of us are being carried right now. Some of us are carrying others. And when Jesus sees this kind of faith, he responds. Because he responded to their faith, not the frustration. He responded to them going, you can do this. It doesn't matter how we got here. Jesus, do what you can only do. And some days that is going to look like, hey guys, I can't carry this myself. Jesus is not expecting you to carry your mat on your own. He wants you to come around people. And then just one last thing here quickly. You got to keep on responding to his word. In verse 11 of that passage, Jesus speaks to this guy and he goes, get up, take your mat, and go home. If you want to grow in Jesus, if you want to be different than last year, the thing that needs to become your number one priority is responding in obedience. Because we can have all the faith, but if we don't act on it, nothing happens. Obedience doesn't earn God's favor. It reveals our faith in his word. It doesn't say we work harder. It just says we trust in Jesus. James 2 verse 26 says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. That alone says, if you got faith, you've got to work it. I walked into this church and there's a lot of fit guys. A lot of big muscles. Yep. But the thing is, those muscles means nothing if you can't move something. Being fit means nothing if you can't run. I'll race you. I might not win. I'll still run. No, I won't. I promise I won't. I lied. Because what is our faith if we've got nothing? How do we get the fruit? Jesus produces it as we act on what he's asked us to do. You want to grow this year, do what the Lord told you to do. But you go, Milo, it's so hard. I'm like, I know. Just keep on doing it. I've been battling. It's okay. Get into community. Have people come alongside you. Let them help you carry this. You see, after Jesus spoke, the man believed Jesus enough to move. We had a mouse in the house one day. And as you guys know, it's a manly thing to catch mice. And this was before we moved to Cape Town. And I was, man, and I knew this mouse was somewhere. And I remember my wife phoning me from work. And when I got home, she was on the table. I'm like, why are you there? She's like, there's a mouse. I'm like, I see nothing. And then when that evening, I'm sitting watching TV. And something catches my eye in front on the carpet watching TV with me was the mouse. And guess what I did? I phoned my dad, who stayed in the house next to us. I'm like, there's a mouse. And they caught the thing, my parents, my mom. Hey, there's other things we need to be brave for, okay? And I'm not risking it over a mouse, okay? And my wife comes the next morning. I'm like, I dealt with a mouse. I did. I exported, you know, imported people to do it. I'm like, I'm just, come on. Mom, there's a mouse. It's your kind of thing. You do that, hey, Mom? And she didn't believe me. But you see, faith, this guy had faith enough in Jesus that on his word, he could move. What has God spoken to you over the last couple of weeks? Over the last 6 months, over the last year. And you still going, I don't know if that is from God. I'm saying put it to the test. You see, faith believed Jesus could speak healing. Obedience trusted him enough to move. And obedience this year might look like praying again, forgiving that person, reaching out, stepping back into community, taking one small step of faith. You just have to respond. Mark 2:12 says this. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. The miracle didn't end on the mat. It ended in obedience. Your journey might be starting on a mat. But if we respond in obedience, things change. Some of you have heard Jesus speak, but you've stayed on your mat because of disappointment. Some of you guys have stopped praying because, not because you don't love Jesus, but just for that specific thing, it feels like there is no response. Can I tell you something? Jesus hears those prayers. Keep on trusting him. Keep on staying connected and carrying each other. Keep on responding. From my time with the Lord in that moment, all I felt was, he loves me. And I want to share that with you. He loves you. So where you have heard and you have stopped, I want to remind you that he loves you. You've got to remind yourself this year of his goodness, of his faithfulness, and that he's trustworthy. And then most importantly, you got to respond to it.